Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
There's so much on my heart, I actually don't know where to start, but it concerns the removal of restraint. So I just want to quickly read through the first part of it again. You can follow on your screen. So our treatment of this is serious because we believe it's a word from God given through our Father in Christ. It was then corroborated with a second witness by a dream, by a prophet in our Gate Global community, Anthony Earle. And so for me, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So it's a very critical word. So Pastor Thamo said recently, while I was in Botswana, I received a deep conviction that God our Father has removed the spirit of restraint from over our family. Now that word family is key. Everyone say, it's a restraint over the family. I may not get to teach about that now, but it's collective, it's not individual. You must have the sense of the restraint removed corporately over a group of people. Initially, I thought this restraint was imposed by the devil, only to realize it was primarily our Father who had limited our reach and privileges. The reason for this restraint was that our maturity was our maturity, or in brackets, immaturity. While we are by no means perfect, that is fully mature, I believe we have reached a place where greater responsibilities can now be entrusted to us. Against this backdrop, he wrote the message. Okay? I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that our Father has now, in a sense, removed the spirit of restraint from over our household. Let me follow here. Okay, why the restraint has been, why has it existed first? It was not punitive, but formative. You must understand that, right? The Father would not entrust greater authority, governance, and influence to a people who had not been sufficiently formed to steward them. The Father always prepares his sons before he enlarges their assignment. A few weeks from now, I'll talk to you about internal enlargement as prerequisite to external possession. Got to be enlarged internally. Over the years, he has patiently and progressively done a few things. God has spoken to us about restored sonship. Our doctrine and thinking has been reformed. Establishment of covenantal relationships. Just bump your neighbor on each side of you and say, by the way, I love you deeply. This house is about relationships. Covenantal, we are family. Everyone say, we are family. All these things are critically important to us. Built within us is the spiritual architecture required to carry his purposes in the earth. That simply means there's an internal capacity. Last week, Quinton preached powerfully on the house that God builds. He framed it in terms of a load-bearing pillar. Everyone say pillar. There's an internal architecture to bear loads, carry weight. We're going to be able to handle more. I'm now thrust in forums and in places I didn't dream I would ever be called to speak. And then I realized this is nothing but an example of the word coming to pass, that God has indeed removed the restraints, right? And it's happening on multiple levels, because God knows we are internally, correctly prepared and wired to bear the load, but also to bear the new level of satanic resistance that comes with it, right? Now, let's go on. I believe the restraint has now eased. This is not a declaration of arrival, but of release. Everyone say release. I'm dying to get into that one because I'm going to talk about the two donkeys that were released from being tied. And Jesus said, I have need for them. Remember, when he rode into Jerusalem, he sent his two disciples and he said, loose those donkeys. Okay, I'm not calling you donkeys, but God is saying, you've been loosed. There's been a released, but some of us are still staying at the post to which we are tied. When God says, I have need for you because you're going to bring me into a city. Don't stay where you are tied, but be released, because the master, that's what Jesus told the disciples, if anybody asks you, why do you want the donkey? You simply say, the master or the teacher has need of it. Amen. The Father is enlarging our sphere of responsibility, opening doors that were previously restrained because our formation was incomplete. Let us no longer think with yesterday's limitation. That's a big one. Forget the things which are behind. Press forward to the things that are ahead. Do not think with yesterday's limitations. Embrace this new phase with a few mentalities. Number one, humility, courage, wisdom, and faithful stewardship. Greater freedom demands greater maturity, and greater authority requires deeper submission. The charge before us is the restraint has been lifted, the responsibility has been increased. May we be found faithful. The proverb laments, a faithful man, who can find? Faithfulness is required in the order of the time and day before us. Now, I'm going to stop there with that. And I want to go back to Deuteronomy. If you go there to Deuteronomy chapter, I think it's chapter 11. And we discussed this last time. But I just want to draw reference to one or two things. Verse 8. Right? Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, that you might be strong to go in and possess the land which into which you are about to cross to possess it. Remember in that verse, we spoke about obedience strengthens you for possession. Obey that you might be strong to go in and possess. So obedience strengthens you for possession. Verse 9. You might prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them to you and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. And explain to you, this is a Hebrew merism. Two polar opposites, two extremes that are meant to cover everything in between them, right? And then, verse 10, for the land in which you are about to enter to possess is not like the land of Egypt, out from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. So it's not like what you are coming out from. God is saying where you are going into is not like what you come out from. So what you come out from must not frame your mentality. If you go into the new with the mentality out from which you came, you're not going to experience the full potential of the new. God painstakingly makes the point, it is not like the land. Repeat this after me, it's not like the land. You think that would be obvious, right? Because you're leaving bondage and you're going into freedom. But God says to them, it is not like the land that you come out from. There were systems, there was frameworks, there was designs, there was templates, there was a manner of working, there was predictable patterns of behavior that they knew for 430 years. And to break that cycle will demand deliberate mental adjustment. Remember the thing about the fish swimming in the cylindrical jar? And then they're taken out into a new pond and they still swim in circles. In that experiment, they swam in circles for 3 days until they realize, hey, there's a massive body of water out there that we still need to explore. And I'm saying your circular pattern of behavior must end. And you know, it requires deliberate intent. Because you when God announces a season of unrestraint and you go into it with old patterns, you find yourself defaulting to the predictable. You find like you default without even thinking those fish will still swim in circles. So you default to a behavior that is so entrenched within your thinking, and that behavior is almost illegitimate for the new environment. And how many times have you adopted a thought pattern or even done something, and only after you've done it, you can kick yourself and say, how could I have? What you've done is you've defaulted. Now, if someone upsets you, maybe your default reaction would be to lash out or to retaliate. Maybe God is saying, it's a new environment, it's a season of unrestraint. Start to change predictable patterns of behavior that once defined you in a previous time space. Tell your neighbor, it requires deliberate intent. Right? If you don't want to fall where you fell before, you've got to make up your mind, I'm not going to fall there again. It has to be a decision, right? It has to be an internal resolve that you make. That's what the word repent means. Repent means to change the mind, but not just to change the mind, to change the mindset. Because sometimes the mind is set on certain behaviors and responses. Now you've got to reset the mind to adopt a different manner of working. So, verse 11, the land, or rather verse 10, the land into which you're about to enter to possess it, not like the land of Egypt out from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot, like a vegetable garden. That's an allusion to an irrigation system that the Egyptians concocted to divert water from the Nile via an irrigation system. It was pumped by the foot and other manual pumps to the places where the water should reach. God said that system of watering your seed is now going to be obsolete. In fact, the terrain you are going into, that system will not suffice there. You're going to have a brand new operating system, right? The land into which you're about to cross to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys. Everyone do this, right? And God is very specific here. He says it drinks water from the rain of heaven, not from the flow of the Nile River. If your frame of mind was the provision came through human effort at irrigating a system, siphoning water from a flowing Nile, right, into places where it's needed, God's saying hills and valleys are different. They're going to have to be reliant upon rain from the heavens. And notice, the land drinks water. Everyone say drinks water. It doesn't have water pumped to it. This land will drink water now. But it's going to drink water from the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord your God cares, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from beginning even up until the end of the year. The proviso of verse 13 is, it shall come about that if you listen obediently to my commands, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that he will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you might gather it in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He'll give you grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. I have a number of, not really a teaching today, prophetic impressions. Right? A number of prophetic impressions that I just want to get off my chest before I go on. Now, I want to encourage you. What I felt in prayer for today's session, I want to say it, and I want you to be prepared for it. The land into which Israel was going was different to Egypt. right? It required a different mindset. It required a different level of trust in God. That God is going to, if they diligently obey his voice, God promised that in the season in which the land needs the rain, God will release the rain. And there's this beautiful promise of, because the eyes of the Lord your God are on this land right from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. In other words, while there might be seasons climatologically within the land, one thing you can be assured of, God's eye is on it perpetually. And I felt the need to encourage the house. God's eye will never leave you. God's eyes are always upon the righteous. God's sight and oversight of you is eternal. It is perpetual. It is consistent. So I felt that some of us are feeling like the Lord has forgotten about me. No, he has not. His eyes are always on the righteous. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the face of the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And I want to encourage you, the moment you opt for obedience and you say, I will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord my God, you can be assured of the oversight, and use the word carefully, the oversight. God watches over with his eyes. There's the oversight of the Lord upon everything you do. And if God's got his eye on you, then it will be well with you. But you must make certain that you remain diligently obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, it was not just a change in sphere, it was a change in occupation. Everyone say change in occupation. Because if you spent your day pumping water from the Nile, irrigating it to places where it is needed, that activity is obsolete in the new sphere, right? So you're going to have to adopt not just a new phase, you're going to have to adopt a new work occupation. Now, this might be prophetic for many of you, right? I wrote in the note, enlargement doesn't just involve more territory. It's about having capacity, watch this, to function differently. Everyone say function differently. It's about capacity to be what I call nimble-minded. Everyone say be nimble-minded. Nimble-minded is where you don't hold your position hard, fixed, and fast. To be nimble-minded means you can twist and turn very easily and change and adapt a course of behavior when the conditions require you to do that. Some people are so fixed, not even God can change them. And God says, it's time to adjust. It's time to just turn this way. And for many of you, might I say prophetically to many in this house and to many watching me, that you're going to actually experience a change of work. It's a new sphere is not just a larger territory. It's a brand new level of work. A brand new focus of occupation. And the Lord says to you, I say this to you measuredly, hold your current position lightly. Because when the Lord says it's time to adapt, you need to go with the currents. Right? And you need to, because enlargement might not necessarily be for you a bigger space. It might be a new place altogether. And you're going to have to adapt, turn, and twist as the Lord burdens you with this. Bump your neighbor and say, be prepared for change. In Egypt, they had become accustomed to a particular kind of labor. Listen, laboring in a confined environment, treading or tending what was immediately before them. The experience was shaped by the limitations that were imposed upon them, right? But where God was leading them to demanded and required a different skill set, right? Different skills, different responsibilities, different rhythms of labor, right? A different flow of work, if you would like. A different occupational consciousness. Because let's say if you're a teacher and all you know is a bell going off at 8 a.m. and after every 45 minutes or 50 minutes, however long your periods are, you hear that siren. Do you know when I left teaching, I used to hear that siren in my mind. I'm out of the school, but I'm at home, I'm being ministered with the back. I say, time, hey. I can hear that thing going off. It's almost like I had to deliberately break with the cycle out of which I had come and adopt a new occupational consciousness. And sometimes your consciousness must adapt to the new environment. I'm just saying, I want the house to be adventurous. Tell your neighbor, house for some adventure. So there's going to be a lot of changes. Keegan, you will see this even in what you are doing. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns. You will see this in what you're doing. I am just saying the Lord's going to expose to you not just a bigger territory, but a new occupational emphasis. And you're going to have to flow as God leads changes in your industry, Aiden. You're going to have to just flow, because sometimes if you don't take it, you miss the season, Gavin, of your visitation. So everyone say, tweak it here, tweak it there, adjust it here, adjust it there. Come on, say that. God is saying, it. For some of you, it might be not a total overhaul, but a slight slant in emphasis here, a slight adjustment there. And God is saying, the restraints, listen carefully. You can't live in Egypt when God's saying the nuance has changed for you to enter a brand new sphere. And I'm saying to you, the restraint has been lifted. The restraint might still be over Egypt, but the lifting of the restraint is a lifting of the restraint over the new environment that he's leading you into. So don't stay where restraint is. Go where the restraint has been. Go where the restraint has been removed. And I'm here to encourage someone, when this presents itself to you, don't second guess it, because this is the Lord. Right? This is the Lord. Don't second guess it, for this is the Lord. That we're not simply moving into a larger version of the same environment. When they left Egypt, it's not a larger version of the same thing. It's a totally brand new thing. They were moving into a territory that required them to cultivate. Think about what they were moving into, right? They now had to cultivate. They now had to build, right? They now had to manage. They now had to develop, govern, produce, and steward on a much larger scale, right? Therefore, enlargement that we are speaking about, if the restraint has been removed, may necessarily require an occupational transition, right? Everyone say we are transitioning, right? An occupational transition. So the new territory for you could be a new occupation. Who's tired of your current face? Okay. Amen. I'm just saying, don't make rash decisions now, please. Don't be impetuous, but when the position and the opportunity presents itself, have the requisite faith to launch out into what God has in store for you. So the challenge is not merely can you handle more, right? It is also, can I become something different? It's not just can I handle more, it's am I nimble-minded enough to now enter into something that is vastly different from what has traditionally characterized my life for years? People know me as this. Can they see me as the other? But the new territory is not just more, but can I go into something different for what God is enlarging me for? Everyone say a difference. Even I, me too. God is changing things at an alarming rate, and sometimes I have to pinch myself and say, am I eligible for that? Am I worthy to stand there? And God says, I want you where I want you. Don't challenge me about where I want you. Remember I spoke about this? Don't present your pride as an obstacle and a challenge to God's view about you. Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. He said, I'm not. Don't ever challenge God's perspective of you, but have the faith enough to say, yes, I'm ready for the change. How many people are ready for change? Come on. You're ready for the change. It's going to be great, brethren. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. Bronwyn, are you ready for the change? Amen. It's going to be great. You're going to see some awesome things happening within your life. Amen. Don't go and tell your boss now. Tomorrow, my pastor said, change is coming. And you use King James to sound anointed. Change cometh. Therefore, I go with. No, just don't be rash. Just do what you're currently doing and allow God in his time to generate the change. Okay? To generate the change. That's just a prophetic thing I'm feeling. Now, if you feel daunted by the newness of the occupation or the newness of the new phase that God is leading you into, because we all feel challenged, not so? By change. The one thing that is constant in life is change. It's the only constant that things will change. And you must be fluid enough to adapt to changing conditions and changing circumstances. We're doing right now in our theological college a module on narrative preaching. Something different, and I will employ the methodology soon, and you will see it. And God is saying, don't just be focused and only on your style of preaching, what you've known to be true of you. Get ready for change. Okay? Now, Exodus 3 and verse 14 says the following. If you feel challenged and overwhelmed by this, look at what God said to Moses. Moses said to God, God called Moses to deliver Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Right? And God said to Moses, who shall I say sent me? Because the people are going to ask, who sent you? Right? What is his name? What shall I say to them? So God answers Moses like this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am sent me to you. It's a conundrum and a great challenge for interpreters of the Hebrew Bible when they came to this section of the text. The Hebrew word is heya or hoya. Everyone say heya. Heya or hoya. It's H-A-Y-A-H. And the word literally means to exist, to become, to come to pass or to be done. Let's take the first meaning. To exist. Everyone say, to exist or to be. I can imagine Moses before Israel and somebody asked him, oh, by the way, what is the name of this God that you sent? He must be scratching his head. He knows what God said to him. We read it in English. They've just translated it as I am that I am. Right? I am that I am. So it means to exist. What is his name, Moses? He's the one who just exists. Who sent you? He's the one who bees. He's a being. He exists. But the subtext of this is, God was saying to Moses, I will exist in you as God. Whenever a certain circumstance or condition manifests itself, I will manifest my being in you in a particular way to meet the needs of the situation. I will exist in you how I want to exist in you. I will be in you how I want to be in you. Moses, you cannot define me. You cannot reduce me and isolate me to one particular name or expression. I am God. I will be whatever I want to be, whenever I want to be. When the circumstances require me to be that particular thing, I am that I am, right? I am God, right? Now, here is an example of this. Here is an example of this. excuse me. Exodus 4 and verse 14, I got the wrong text. So I left the example out. Let me just quote it to you. I'll give you the text in your notes when I send it. So God sends Moses to Pharaoh. And this is what God said to Pharaoh. If you think about it, how can a runaway slave, which is Moses, when I say a runaway slave, he wasn't a slave per se, but remember he killed an Egyptian who flogged one of the Hebrew slaves, and he would have been enslaved or actually been executed. I call him a runaway, a fugitive. Let's call him a fugitive rather. He left Egypt for 40 years. He comes back after 40 years. Pharaoh, at that point in time, was the greatest military and political leader of his day. Not so? How can this unknown fugitive who ran away from this major empire come back and ask to see the leader? You want to see Mr. Trump, let's say. Firstly, will you even get an audience with him? Will you even get an appointment? How on earth did Moses come back after all these years and come back to Pharaoh's courts? It's unheard of. That doesn't happen. Except God had a purpose. Do you think also that the leader would listen to this nobody? Farvan kon jay? Farvan? Van var kom jay? Varvan? Kom jay? Af. Hallelujah. Talking in tongues, brethren. Pharaoh would say to him, bro, where do you come from? What is your name again? And you want me, you, with no power or authority, you don't know where you come from, you telling me to let these people go that my empire had in bondage for 430 years. There's the door. Humba. Right? Or better still, you're dead, brother. You don't come in these courts and challenge my authority. But you know what God said to Moses? God said to him, when you come before Pharaoh, I will make you appear like a god to him. That is why Pharaoh had time of day for him, because in Pharaoh's perception, there was the I am that I am standing in the Moses. And to Pharaoh, Moses appeared like a god. Now, I'm referencing this to encourage you with this. Please listen. The new thing that God is leading you into might overwhelm you, but I heard distinctly the Lord saying to me, in fact, Pastor Thamo referenced this, he often would reference this account, and he referenced it recently in Tanzania, right? That when you need to operate at a particular level, you're going to feel the empowerment of the I am that I am. God will literally come and grace you, empower you for your new phase. So do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Here's the text. Thank you. Exodus 7:1. The Lord said to Moses, see, I make you as a God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. I make you as a God to Aaron, and your brother Pharaoh, your brother Aaron shall be to you as a prophet. I want to conscientize you that God's going to armor you. God's going to literally come and be what you need to be in the new phase and the new role and the new occupation. This doesn't discount the necessity of you fine-honing your skill sets and whatever is needed to operate at that new level. But there is a divine component to this thing. It's called the rain from heaven. Everyone say rain from heaven. So Israel leave Egypt, the watered, the small gardens, to the land flowing at hills from valleys. But be aware, Israel, that in that new environment, there is something called what heaven gives, what heaven releases. It's the rain of heaven. You will do what you must do. You will learn the craft of managing new and cultivating new lands. You're going to learn new methodologies of stewardship and management over whole areas, planting seed, nurturing plants, harvesting, storage in barns, etc. You're going to learn all those things, but be assured There's a dynamic that I will give you. It's called the rain from heaven, which for me is a kind of empowerment that God's going to give you even while you do your thing in the new land. That element, the empowerment from heaven, is going to be a reality that you and I are going to have to seriously rely upon. Especially when you feel inept, ill-equipped, not fit for the task, God's going to say, I will stand in you, Moses, and the perception of others regarding you will drastically change. And you're going to get an audience where no man should get an audience. You're going to get to speak to high-profile people where ordinarily you would not have legitimacy to enter those domains. God says, I want you where I want to, but I will not just lead you there without standing in you as a pillar. This is exactly what the word pillar means. In the original idea of a pillar, it's God standing in the man to make the man strong. Amen? So be fully prepared for what God has in store for you. Now, if you feel you have some gaping, glaring things that will compromise you in the new phase, in the new place, this is what God said to Moses, Exodus 4. Moses said, I cannot speak, remember? Okay, maybe Moses got around to saying, okay, no problem. I know I have to appear before Pharaoh and communicate this. Only problem, God, is I can't talk. Me and words are not big friends. I don't even know how to use ChatGPT, God, to fine hone my speeches. Then you know what God said to Pharaoh, to Moses? Exodus 4:14. Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? Right? I know that he speaks fluently. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Moreover, he shall speak to you, for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. That's an amazing portion, right? So when I read this, because when I think about where God is leading me into, I would say things like this to God, but God, I'm so deficient in this skill or in that capacity. I don't know how to maneuver maybe here. I don't know the inner workings of that environment or that space. And the Lord assured me, that's why I'm saying this verse to you. The Lord assured me that he's going to give us supportive personnel alongside to cover up the deficiency that you manifest in a particular way. All of you, I really want to encourage you. Mark my words, God's going to lead you into a strategic relationship. God's going to cause you to connect with someone that's going to cover your deficiency in a strategic area of expertise that you need. Sometimes God doesn't just fill the vacuum. Sometimes he gives you a person to fill the vacuum. And he was going to position strategic partnerships next to you that's going to take you to the next level. If you think about Moses' dilemma, he stumbled and he stuttered. I nearly say stuttered. Maybe he did stutter. That's why I'm stammering. Okay. Now listen carefully. Would you not think it will be easy for God to heal his mouth? Heal the mouth one time, God. Let the man talk. Right? Here's a massive task. Who'd like the burden of leading 2 million people? Anybody here? Right? I can barely manage with this child. 2 million, Jesus, help me. And my problem is I can't even speak. Right? God doesn't look at your deficiency to determine your purpose. If the purpose is set, God said, whatever deficiency you present to me, I will either cover it, heal it, or if not, cover it by positioning key persons within your life that will take you to ensure that the will of the Lord is done. How many of you here present are ready for new relationships? Mark my words, all of you, no matter how old or young you are, I want you to have your eyes and ears open, right? I want you to have your eyes and ears open. God, and be discerning and be aware when it comes to you. God's going to position what we call Cornelius relationships. God's going to bring Cornelius relationships in your world, right? It will catapult you to the next level. Nicodemus met Joseph, or knew Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph of Arimathea was an extremely wealthy man in the Gospels. When Jesus died, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea got together. Remember, Nicodemus was a leader in the Sanhedrin, was one of the Sanhedrin, leader of God's people, teacher of God's people in the old covenant system. Remember in John 3, Jesus told him, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom." We know Nicodemus, secret follower of Jesus. Remember, he had this fear of coming open with his commitment and his devotion to the Lord. But when Jesus died, while every disciple is in hiding and every disciple is fearful, who steps forward? This guy. And the Bible says he and Joseph of Arimathea went before Pilate. Knock out. You went before authority figures, and the Bible says they requested for the body of Jesus. Don't leave his body on the cross. They requested for the body of Christ. And together with Joseph of Arimathea, they took him and they buried him in Joseph's tomb. Joseph of Arimathea had just bought a tomb, probably for his own burial one day, right? But Jesus was buried in that tomb. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. But I just am so cognizant of the relationship between these two individuals. Now, maybe one or both of them could not approach Pilate alone, but jointly they could. One represented religious authority and the other represented economic strength. Right? A leader in the Sanhedrin and economic strength. Jointly they went to approach Pilate, requesting for the body. Each one independently could not have done it, but both secured it. God is going to bring you some level of partnership that's going to push God's program for you to the next degree. That is why I'm saying, be open. Love people. Right? Yesterday at the marriage seminar hosted by Hope Church, some of you were there. It was a lovely evening. Amen? Lovely, lovely evening. But I did not go to sit next to any of our people. I saw them as I came in, where they were seated. My inclination would be, let me go sit with one of our brothers. But I saw their pastor that I didn't know. I knew of him, didn't know him intimately. And I went deliberately. I said hi to everyone I greeted, and I went to sit. And we got on like a house on fire, exchanged numbers. Right? We exchanged numbers. And he actually might come to the school, the October school. Right? And I'm saying, I got a new relationship in my bag, in my arsenal. And who knows what might become. Some of us never, ever, we're like fish swimming in a circle. That's the only people we relate to. That's the only people we know. Right? And for some, you need to exit your current orbit. Exit your current circular fashion and go in and meet new people. Some of us only invite predictable people for suppers, for lunches, for dinners. How about inviting somebody brand new? Right? Even your house will get shocked. Oh, who are these now? Right? We don't know these. We don't know this grace. We don't know this anointing. You could be inviting someone, and please don't do this with ulterior motives, right? Don't only invite people because you foresee, or they're going to be used to give me momentum or headway. You just be gracious. You just be loving. You just be hospitable. You just be open to embrace everyone within your world. We had Luandle in the week for supper in this week. Our lives are extremely busy, but we prioritized it because we made him a promise that we need to get together. And we sat over supper and we chatted into the night. And I got to know so, so much about him. Things I would never have known if I didn't take the time to sit with somebody and to engage him. You never know, within this very room might be the person that's the means to your next breakthrough. But you might be sitting next to the new strategic partnership, but you've never taken the time to exit your current orbit of relationships. Right? It's time to exit. Tell your neighbor, let's grow. Let's grow relationally, etc. Okay, quickly. Time is really, really not on my side today. God said to Jeremiah, he will put his words in his mouth. Remember when Jeremiah presented a challenge to God? God called him as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah said, I can't speak, I'm a youth, don't know how to go in, don't know how to come out. God said, Jeremiah, I will take my words and I will put my words in your mouth. God, whenever he calls a person, always capacitates the person. God never calls you and leaves it to you to do what he expects you to do. God will always empower you to do what he has called you to do. In Matthew 10 and verse 20, just the context here, Jesus said to them, when you're brought before leaders and you're brought before great men and you are questioned and they ask you concerning various things. In fact, he said, I send you like sheep in the midst of wolves, and they question you. Then Jesus said this to them. Okay? Let me read the previous verse just for context. When they hand you over, do not worry about what, how or what you shall say. It will be given to you in that hour what you need to say. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. So Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, when the chips are down and you are in environments that seem antagonistic to you, don't be afraid, don't be alarmed. If I want you where I want you, if I thrust you there, the Spirit of your Father will be in you, speaking in and through you. Right? Moses, when you come before Pharaoh, I'll make you appear like a god to him. If you're stammering and stuttering, I'll position Aaron as your spokesperson. You will whisper to him, but he will speak fluently, the Bible says, to Pharaoh and even to the people when you lead him. God always capacitates and empowers the ones that he calls. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 14, God said to Gideon, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Maybe that's why the brother was so overwhelmed. Sure, Midian. Israel was in bondage to Midian at that time for 7 years. They stole produce, they made the nation poor, etc. But go in this your strength. Everyone say your strength. So you must be thinking, Lord, you don't know my strength. I got no strength, actually. You want me to go in this, my strength? There's nothing strong in my strength. And maybe the brother then was overwhelmed. But look at verse 16. But the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Right? You shall defeat Midian as one man. God calls a man, God capacitates a man. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1. He said to me, son of man, stand on your feet that I might speak with you. And he spoke to me, and the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. Ezekiel 2 verse 1 and 2. Notice the commandment is stand on your feet, that I might speak with you. And look in the very next verse what it says. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. So who stood up? The commandment to him was stand on your feet, I want to speak to you. But as he's speaking, the Spirit enters him and the Spirit set him on his feet and I heard him speaking. You see what God expects of you, God empowers you to do. Stand on your feet. And the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. The command is to stand, but the Spirit empowered the standing. And I'm saying to you, don't be overwhelmed by by the new thing that God is leading you into, I sense very strongly you're going to sense capacitation from heaven. God's going to come in and empower you to do what you need to do in the new environment. It will not be you. It will be the Lord standing and working within you. You just have to lean in and say, yes, God, I'm inclined to obey. There's some trepidation, some fear, but I'm absolutely trusting you fully and completely in this next phase. Ezekiel 3:24 says, then the Spirit entered me and made me stand on my feet. Everyone say, made me stand. Ezekiel 3:24. The Spirit entered me and made me stand on my feet. Okay? So there's the what God makes you to do simply because you are willing. Look at Daniel 8:18. While he was talking to me, I sank in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and he made me stand upright. He made me stand upright. And I want to encourage you, we're going to see more and more the capacitation of heaven calling us and causing us to do things that our human limitations simply do not allow. Then we're going to have to stand back and say, this is the Lord's doing, right? And it's marvelous within our eyes. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous within our eyes. Look at Daniel chapter, just quickly, one more. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Verse 9. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away and hid themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw the great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned into a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. So he's depleted in terms of physical strength. And I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face and my face to the ground. Daniel is overwhelmed by the visions he sees. It saps him physically. He's weak, right? And he hears the sounds of God's word. He falls into a deep sleep, his face to the ground. Verse 10, behold, a man touched me. Everyone say, he touched me, right? Behold, a man touched me and set me trembling on my hands and my knees. And he said to me, oh, Daniel, a man highly esteemed, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright. There's an instruction to adopt a new posture. Everyone say, new posture. Stand upright, for I've seen, for I have been sent to you. And when he had thus spoken the word to me, I stood up trembling. Verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength. Now, I just love this text. Yea, he's a prophet of God, overwhelmed. And obviously, the intensity of the visions affects him physically. And he's weak in terms of his physical strength. But the power of God's speech is the means by which God strengthens him. And he receives strength and said, may the Lord speak, for you have strengthen me. It's like he's coming into a new level of visions and a view, a peeping into the future, and God is dealing with his servants. But it's awe-inspiring. It's actually overwhelming for Daniel. For Daniel, the restraint has been lifted. The lid has been taken off. God is saying to him, you're a man highly esteemed. Heaven regards you highly. But Daniel, you need to see things no man has ever seen. It's actually going to be overwhelming for you. You're going to lose strength even physically. But I will empower you to engage me at a brand new level. The sound of my words will be the medium that's now going to strengthen you. So that you, every time I speak, you don't fall down. So every time I speak, you don't collapse. Every time I speak, you stand like a man and let's engage the business. And I'm saying to you, everyone say capacity. That's what the missive Pastor Thamel called internal architecture. The internal fabric of the man is so strong. Where God wants him might be overwhelming. There might be weakness mentally, spiritually, even physically. But the man needs to be strong enough to engage the new process of God. And I want to encourage everyone in this house. We don't have time for games. We don't have time for inconsistency. We literally don't have time for I'm strong now and weak tomorrow. We don't have the luxury of backsliding, if it is a luxury. It's not a luxury, it's a disaster. Right? We can't afford to be honorable 1 week and dishonorable the next week. Faithful 1 week and unfaithful the next week. We have now the expectation for this group. Daniel, oh, highly esteemed of the Lord. Restraints have been lifted. Watch this. If God leads you into a new phase and you don't have the internal architecture to sustain the new level of glory, the new level of responsibility. Like we see here in Daniel, every time he engages, he's falling asleep and his head to the ground. But then God wants him to be upright so God can intelligently engage the man. And the sound of words strengthen him to operate on a brand new level. You can't be falling down every week when we have business to discuss, when we have purpose to pursue. Amen. The days of erraticism is over. You know, people are erratic. For some people, I can't locate them. Where are you? How are you? What mood would I find you in? What is the status of your mind and that of your family and your disposition towards God and to the house? So I'm calling the house today. I'm saying to all of us, the restraint has been lifted. If we're going to go into a new phase, we have to go in strong. And I'm saying it's not entirely left to you. Like we see here in Daniel, the Spirit enters him and causes him to stand on his feet. Everyone say Holy Ghost capacitation. Holy Ghost capacitation is going to be the order of the day. Again, like we said a few weeks ago, no more excuses. The day of excuses is over. Don't be overwhelmed by the hugeness of the task ahead. Because God is faithful to both capacitate you and empower you for where you need to be. For some of you, I can see you considering a new maybe business or area of functionality. Do your groundwork. Do your due diligence in the matter. I'm glad the guys in New Zealand have started Gate Commercial. That's an export-import agency, and they're bringing goods from South Africa to one of the ports there in New Zealand. So when I got the message, because it's family, it's my brothers, I put it immediately as my WhatsApp status. An hour later, somebody called. I said, I saw your WhatsApp status. What is this about? Right? And I was able to connect them. I then sent it to someone within the Gate family, which I probably knew will have some knowledge about this. I said, these are sons of ours in New Zealand, and they're venturing into this new area. Do you have any knowledge or context that will probably facilitate their development? He responded an hour later with such great advice and context, and I immediately forwarded it to the guys in New Zealand, for which they were profoundly grateful. I am saying, think family. Everyone say family. I might have been the key to a major breakthrough of this because I know someone that they don't know, but their business is also my priority. And it's in my best interest that they succeed. When you function like this and you serve to facilitate the development of another, God will bless you. Right? And I really want to encourage the house. Let's think family. Okay? Let's think broadly. So, I remember when they were first discussing this initiative in last year already, specifically Wesley. And it was an overwhelming thing. But you know what is overwhelming initially? The moment you start entering it. And you get the business plan done. And you, the registration is done. And you start, and now they're formulating their first quote. Right? And there's possibilities of even more business now. You begin to become like a fish in water in the new environments. Because now heaven is raining on what you are doing. Heaven is capacitating you. I want to say this to all of you. Do not fear what the Lord is leading you into. Do not fear. Go boldly. Go confidently. God your Father will capacitate you and he will provide for you. Even if it means bringing a strategic partner alongside you to cover your deficiency, God will take care of business. It's a new day for new occupations. Please don't send me a bunch of resignations now. Pastor, please be wise, be prudent as you move, maneuver, but be a person and a man and a woman of great faith in the Lord. It's going to be expansion, but also new emphases of functionality in the new thing that God has in store for us. Amen. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word. I pray, O God, that as we maneuver, we will not think with yesterday's limitations. We will not limit the Holy One of Israel, as your word declares. I release your grace upon this house and all those listening. And I pray, O God, give us capacity. Give us courage to take steps of faith into the newness of what you have in store for us. Thank you that all limitation is broken. May we experience the liberty of ceilings being removed from everything we do, Father. In whatever this means to people uniquely in their own situations, I pray, let this word manifest, let it come to pass, cause us to stand on our feet. Where there's been incapacity, where we fail and fall, because we don't have requisite capacity to engage the new arena. I ask you, Holy Spirit, call us and cause us to stand on our feet, to bear the load, to engage the process, to be intelligent in the new arena, and to walk confidently in all that you have called us to do. Thank you that your will be done for every single person in this house in reference to this. I bless your people with great grace, abundant peace. I pray strength to the house, strength to the mind, strength to families, strength to individuals, strength to business people, strength to worker, to marketplace practitioners, strength to mothers and strength to fathers, strength to the youth, strength to our babies even, and young children, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.